You're listening to the Honeypot Chats, a podcast about cybersecurity with your hosts, Brenda and Tambi.
Welcome back to Honeypot Chats, Brenda and Tambi. Today we have an interview with Pendo Manjale, who is a data analyst professional. So we're just going to get into a little bit about what Pendo does, and she'll walk us through some of the things that she gets to do in her job, and then just some advice for those listening who might want to follow in her footsteps. So without further ado, hi, Pendo. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for hosting me today. I will go ahead and introduce myself. I am Pendo Manjale, a data scientist with a software engineering background. I have 4 years of professional experience, which spans over startups, banking, and I'm now in telecoms. My current focus is qualitative and quantitative data analytics. And in addition, I'm a co-lead for the Facebook developer circle Lusaka, which is one of the most active developer communities in Lusaka, built to connect developers, creators, and innovators in technology. I have a bachelor's in science, in computer science, and certified data analyst with SQL.
Great. That sounds very techie, very geeky. That's very exciting. Just tell us a bit more about your role and the type of data that you work with, and then also just get into the Facebook developers as well.
Okay, so about my role, my current role is primarily focused on qualitative and quantitative data analytics, which involves high cross-functional work with different units within the organization. I span between the products, teams, marketing, and the technical team, but structure-wise, I sit in strategy. On the day-to-day, my role includes data modeling, statistical analysis, trending and benchmarking. And this entails optimizing customer profiles by identifying unique traits and clusters of behaviors within the user bases that we have to enable curation of user-specific offers and campaigns informed by data and market research. And I'll give you an example. Say if multiple customers are making purchases in a day for the same product, the assumption that can be drawn from this kind of behavior is that it is cheaper to make multiple purchases. It is cheaper for customers to make multiple purchases than purchase a single product for the same price point. With such an insight, what you can drive or you can it can drive you to infer that a new offer should be introduced that allows users to get what they want in a single purchase to improve their overall experience as opposed to them making multiple purchases. So that's part of my day-to-day role, which involves analyzing data and coming up with and deriving decisions that would help improve overall customer experience from the multiple offers that we have. You asked about the developer community. Just to add on that, well, on the other hand, I also call it the developer circles community, which is a community that brings together tech enthusiasts, innovators, creators, and developers who work together, collaborate, and also share knowledge on the latest technologies. And this community is actually, it's a Facebook community. So Facebook has a developer circle that has different developer circles across the globe. And we have some members of the community who have been able to get training scholarships, participate in hackathons and win, and also share knowledge and give back to the community through sharing knowledge, either through webinars, YouTube, and also articles, and also through physical interactive sessions. Yeah, so that's, well, much on the surface about the community, but you can also find it on Facebook, Developer Circles Lusaka.
Oh, awesome. Looks like you're very busy, hey?
Yeah, it's part of my other passion.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. It's always good to give back. What would be some of your common tools sitting in your data analyst toolbox?
Some of the tools that I use as a data analyst?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to segment so that I don't mix them up. So for databases, most of the data that I work with is structured. So I use a lot of SQL Management Studio and PostgreSQL. And for collaboration and coding, I use Jupyter Notebooks and Visual Studio Code. And for data visualization and reporting, Microsoft Power BI and PowerPoint. And for my analytics, Excel heavily. Excel is like your super, that hero that is unheard of, but it still really works wonders for analytics, and Jupyter Notebooks as well for big data. And then for project management, I use Jira and Trello, I think both of which are Atlassian products. And for personal focus, I am currently using, that's like music. I really love to zone out when I'm working or doing analytics. And so I listen to music using Spotify, and it really helps me focus and just helps me speed up my delivery process. Yeah, so those are some of my superhero tools.
Cool. Great. Although I have to say, Excel just stresses me out. So I'm surprised that you're raving about it, but not
really. And I was just saying, I was giving Excel the credit that it deserves.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is a whole nother episode, but okay. Okay, so maybe just walk us through some of the steps that you take to solve a business problem, maybe with a practical example.
Okay. Well, I'll speak in the context of my area of expertise and some of the problems that I solve in my role. So as a data analyst, the most common issues that I investigate are anomalies in trends. For instance, an extreme shift in a metric, either in the positive or negative direction. So, since I'm speaking from that perspective, as a rule of thumb, I think this is a standard practice that I've come to adopt. I have a mentor checklist that I have to tick before starting to crunch numbers or looking at the logs to ensure that the root cause isn't caused by a non-product factor, such as bad advertising, bugs, errors, or a feature update. So within my mentor checklist, I would obviously call some of the different people that are responsible for those particular metrics. Let me give an example. If we have a drop, like if there's a drop in revenue, the possible issues would be the system was down, customers weren't able to make payments or make subscriptions or recharge. And so before getting into the numbers and looking at the data and spending so much time, I find it more useful to call different the technical team just to find out if they had any issue. Perhaps maybe they deployed a new feature which didn't work well and they had to maybe roll back. And during that period, there was a breakdown in the application. Or the marketing team in case there was an issue in the way a product was configured. And so having that understanding will save you some time. If that's the case, meaning it saves you time, you have your answer. But in a case where there's in the initial step where the problem isn't identified, I take my next step to see how long the problem has been there. So having to analyze if the problem was sudden or if the problem has been gradually developing and has only been uncovered at that particular point when I'm doing my analysis. So after uncovering that, I then take a dive into establishing the cause by conducting a root cause analysis. And some of the things that I look into are time. I think time is always a good factor to consider and can easily be observed by plotting a line graph. So I usually want to see if a metric shift was sudden or gradual, like I initially mentioned. So did it happen overnight or did it happen over a particular time and it was only uncovered at that point? Or is this, and then also looking at if it's a one-time occurrence or if it is a recurring issue. And another thing when you're looking at time is you also want to look at what time of the day or week that particular shift was more pronounced. So this actually helps with answering, because you want to answer some of those questions that with regards to time. Another factor that I pay attention to is the location. So you want to see, is the revenue drop queued to a particular location or regional segment? Checking for this actually helps you narrow down the problem. Because obviously when you're solving a problem, you want to narrow it down as much as possible so that you can actually pinpoint and be able to identify where the actual issue is and be able to come up with a solution in the most timely manner. So for each of these, for location, you also have to ask certain questions. That some of the questions that I consider asking are, was this queue particular to a region or if it was globally distributed? So were all regions affected by that drop or decline, or it was just particularly to a region? Because that now gives you more narrow place to look into even as you're extracting data and doing the analytics. And then another issue would be another item under location that I normally look into is any developments within the region that may have influenced the trend. Like I would give an example. Well, I work in telecom, so it's internet. And every second, people are using the internet, making subscriptions and connecting with their friends and loved ones. So when we had, I think during the election period, we had an outage. And so that's something that was globally distributed, and that's easy to pick out because you can easily tell that, okay, we had an internet outage, we had a power outage in this particular location, or we had a global power outage throughout the country, so we had a drop in revenues because maybe our sites were down and we couldn't serve customers in that particular area or within throughout the area. Another question and item that I look at is other products, like how individual products are performing. So I think we have different products. I think from the industry that I'm coming from, we don't only have a single product. So we have different products, similar but have also unique in terms of product placement, they are different. So if all the products are exhibiting the same trend in terms of revenue, all of them are going down, meaning it's a more global problem than a problem on a particular problem. And that sometimes entails that it's a bigger issue. Another item that I'd look at within product, another question that I would ask is, have customers moved to another product within the same ecosystem that may be leading to cannibalization? Because sometimes you might see a drop in one product, maybe as a result of another product that was introduced. So one product grows and the other product goes down. And finally, another item, that question that I would ask before actually going into the data is, do we have any failures in our applications? And that's now looking into the logs and just having that understanding whether there was an issue in terms of purchases or system failure at a particular point. So I think these are some of the things I would look at even before diving into the analytics. So after answering these questions, I think I normally now get into the data. It's easier to get data when you have defined questions, and then for each question you're answering with data and ticking them off. And then at a particular point you find that one of the questions, the data supports one of the questions, and then I run that particular question and further analyze and look for more information that would drive me to a conclusion or inference of what actually happened and provide a solution for that particular problem. Yeah. Cool. So that's a bit complex, but yes.
Yeah, I think you definitely touched on a lot of important things, and you also touched on how important data is for business decisions, hey, just from your explanation. So thank you for that. How is cybersecurity or information security incorporated into big data? So before you answer, let me just define the two or highly. So information security is the general term for which organizations and individuals protect their valuable assets, whilst cybersecurity is a specific type of information security that refers to the ways an organization protects its digital information, for example, networks, devices, servers, and other digital assets. So having briefly described that, how is cybersecurity or information security incorporated into big data analytics from your point of view?
Thanks for predefining both terms. Well, from the knowledge I'm not a cybersecurity expert, but from the knowledge that I have on cybersecurity, I think we're living in an era where data has become gold and oil. And so many people are looking at ways of exploiting and mining that data for malicious gains and also for business gains. I think we've had so many scandals that have occurred in the past that are regarding data and how people have been giving out their data because they lack knowledge on how to protect data. Or, you know, like I'm always like, I think one thing that I'm always saying is that if something is free, you're being exploited in one way or the other, either collecting your data because your data is valuable. Yeah. So I think some of the cybersecurity areas that have become dependent on big data analytics would be in fraud detection. This is an area that I've explored, and I think it's in line with cybersecurity. So those anomalies in fraud detection, that's in the bank money fraud, identity fraud and the likes, and also looking at threat analysis. I think all this is with regard to data, and also network forensics, analyzing anomalies within the network. Is there any suspicious activities that is going on? And all these things have to do with data because you have like big, you have huge chunks of data, and for you to actually have that, for you to detect that anomaly, you have to have very good technologies that very good technology or tools that will be able to detect that those anomalies. And I think now with the automation and fast-paced AI, I think a lot of work is being done in terms of having to learn from the data to do more preventing cyber attacks and also reducing the risk of attacks. So I think cybersecurity and big data intercept at the data that's available. Yeah, so well, by exploiting data from the networks and computers, like one can discover useful network information from data in the process, and decision makers in the process make more informative decisions by using these the analysis and including what actions need to be performed, and also performing improvements to recommendations, to policies, guidelines, and tools, and probably other aspects of the network too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I think there is a relationship between the two. And as you've said, as we, as people and, you know, technology start generating more data, there's definitely going to be a need for the security part of securing that data. So before we get into the fun questions, any advice to anyone listening who might want to follow your footsteps in the data analytics space?
Well, I would say develop a growth mindset and practice agility in the space of data science and its technology. So there's a lot of change that's going on and it's evolving every day. So continuous learning, self-improvement, and also practicing agility is very important. And those are some of the things that I've been able to leverage on. Secondly, do not be afraid to fail and always learn from your failures. And third would be, well, as a data analyst, I think it took me a while to learn, like, to learn that done is always better than perfect. You know, if you have a problem, you have to solve it within the shortest time possible. So usually effort is better than spending so much time trying to analyze a problem to perfection. And finally, I think finding a community is really, really important to enable your growth, and in turn, always give back to communities in whichever way, I think through sharing your story, through writing, and also just finding someone to mentor and help. And yeah, that's how we grow.
It's great advice. I like what you said about learning from failures. I think it takes a lot to get into the mindset, but you know, that's great advice. Okay, so the last part of the interview, we just ask some fun questions just to loosen you up. which book do you believe everyone should read?
Well, I have a long list of reading books, but I think one of the books that I have read this year that has been very, very helpful is Atomic Habits, like an easy way and proven way to build good habits and break the bad ones. I think this is a really good book that I would really advise, that I think everyone else should read. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's one book that I would highly recommend.
Cool. Atomic Habits. All right. Are you team Android or team iOS?
I'm African. Android. Yeah. Africa uses Android. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So how would your coworkers describe you?
I'm the only female on my team at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, well, I think they would describe me as an advocate for inclusivity. I'm always speaking and preaching inclusivity, and I think level-headed. And finally, I think they would describe me as the source of data. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Nice qualities there. Lastly, what is your hidden talent?
Have I hidden all my talents? Okay, I think one that's I can actually braid hair, but it's hidden, yeah. But all the other talents, I think, I've explored and tried them.
Okay. All right, cool, great.
Well, it won't be hidden after this episode airs, though. So people will be definitely coming out to ask you to practice that hidden talent, right? So we've come to the end of our episode. Thank you so much, Pendo, for gracing us with your presence and for, you know, giving us just a little bit of, you know, information about data analytics and your day-to-day life and in the industry. And, you know, you sound very passionate about, and you sound like you love what you do. So that's always a plus. Thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back in the future to talk more about data. I'm sure people want to know, you know, a little bit more about what you do. Thank you once again. Tambi, do you have any closing remarks?
Thank you, Pendo, for spending time with us and just, again, educating the listeners. I'm sure maybe for some people, they've never heard of data analysis and also didn't know that Lusaka has a Facebook developer circle. So thank you so much. And I'm sure if anyone wants to reach out to you, they probably can via LinkedIn, maybe just find out a bit more information about what you do and maybe just some guidance as well. So yeah, thank you.
Okay, guys. Cheers. Until the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Honeypot Chats with Brenda and Tambi. Join us next time.